Psalm tonight, 107. This is a precious psalm, but God let me see something that I've not paid attention to before. And I want to share that with you tonight. The Bible starts out in Psalm 107. I'm not going to read the whole chapter for the sake of time. We've got a lot to do after church. But it said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." What you're going to find out over and over and over in the book of Psalms 107 is that God is merciful. And honestly, I believe the only reason America is still here is because God is merciful. And if you look at verse number 43, we looked at the first verse in the chapter. Look at the last verse in the chapter with me tonight. The Bible said, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." I read that verse just now, and I didn't plan on saying this, but it reminded me of Brother Mays Jackson. Brother Mays, years ago, was preaching. He said, when I was coming up, he said, my daddy'd take his belt off. He said, my daddy whooped me. He said, my daddy'd say, son, this is hurting me worse than it is you. And he said, I used to think, my Lord, somebody's got their signals mixed up. What you're going to see over and over in Psalm 107 is God is chastening His people. Now, wait a minute. The Word of God said, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Beloved, when I was growing up, I didn't understand the loving kindness of my father. Brother Rose, my mama whooped me every day. I don't remember a one of them. Daddy whooped me four times, and I ain't forgot a one of them. One of them was getting the job done, amen? And I didn't understand it at the time. But my father loved me. He's in heaven tonight. And it took me a few years to understand the loving kindness of my earthly father. And sometimes I wonder if God is not trying to teach us as a nation, as families, as individuals, the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. Let me pray and I'll begin to share with you a few things tonight from the Scripture. I've been thinking about this and I've even said something from the pulpit at times. What's God trying to teach us? Are we getting the lesson or are we missing it? I believe God's trying to teach us something in America. And I believe we'll enter into that a little bit tonight. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. God, we praise you tonight for the Bible. Thank you, God, that you're a God that was willing to allow your hands to be nailed to an old rugged cross. And yet, Lord, you're a God that's willing to carry a rod that, Lord, you might correct your children along the way. I pray, Father, tonight you'd help us learn some lessons tonight from Psalm 107. God, that'll help us along the way. Lord, help us to understand a little bit better the loving kindness of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I mentioned a while ago a lady that was saved on Sunday afternoon after being 2 or 3 days quarantined with COVID, separated, thinking about things. Be hard to think about seeing the loving kindness of the Lord in that dreaded virus called COVID, but I believe she's seen it now, and she understands that somebody loves her. Tonight, I want you to understand that the Bible said, "Yo, give thanks unto the Lord." Let me ask you this. What are we supposed to thank Him for? Everything. The Word of God said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think tonight when God gets finished teaching us a few things right here, it'll be easier to thank Him for what we see right now as a burden, because we can understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let me just say this tonight. How many of y'all love Him? I said, how many of y'all love Him? Well, do you know what the Word of God said? And we know. That's K-N-O-W. All things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind if you're going to thank God for pestilence. I want you to see tonight, beloved, listen, what God showed me in the Scripture. I've had these marked in my Bible for years. In verse number 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. In verse number 15, how many of y'all got these marked in your Bible? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. In verse number 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. And verse number 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now, I don't have time to get into all of it tonight, but let me share some things with you here. That's repeated four times. There's something else in this text that's repeated four times that I missed. I didn't get it until this time through, and I didn't understand it. If you'll look with me, if you will, in verse number 6, how many knows that if you read through the book of Psalms 107, the Bible said here, they gathered them out of the lands in verse 3, the west, the north. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Over and over, Brother Rose, in Psalm 107, there's tribulation, there's trials, there's chastisement that comes upon the apple of God's eye, the people of Israel. Let me ask you something tonight. Did God love Israel? Yes, He did. And yes, He does. And yes, He always will. Amen. Pay you and I to love Israel and to pray for them. Watch this tonight. In verse number 6, this is what I want to call your attention to. The Bible said, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Let me tell you something tonight. You know what I believe God's looking for in the church? Somebody to cry out to the Lord. You know what I believe God's looking for in America? Somebody that'll swallow their pride and admit, we need You, Lord. Lord, this is bigger than we are. It's taken our families. It's taken our churches. It's taken our people out of this world and cry out to God. I'm going to tell you, one of two things is going on, and either one of them can be right. Either God sent it or God allowed it. Say amen. And if God allowed it, He has a purpose in it. There's something for you and I to learn here tonight. Let me show you. Look at verse number, let me just go through this real quickly. The Bible said in verse 9, He satisfieth the longing soul. Did you underline verse 6 or put a star by it or something? Look at it there, okay? Verse 9. He satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness, the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Y'all know these Old Testament stories, right? Israel is in trouble because Israel has rebelled against God. Let me tell you something. America's in trouble because America has rebelled against the God of heaven. You say, Pastor, I don't understand that. Back up into chapter 106. The Bible said in verse number 6, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercy. In verse 12, they believed, they then believed they his words, they sang his praise. And then in verse 13, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. I believe America is full of people that have forgotten God and forgotten that the nation was founded upon the principles of God's word, want to erase the history, amen, want to erase the church of the living God. Watch this now. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. Verse 21, they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Verse 24, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. I want to ask you something. How much griping's going on in America today? Let me ask you this. How much griping's going on in the church? Many of you are like me. You don't gripe a whole lot with your mouth except to your wife. But in your heart. Somebody help me tonight. Lord God, when are we going to get through this and get back to some kind of normalcy? I'm going to tell you what God's looking for. People that will cry out to the Lord. Let me show you something tonight. Come on over in verse number 28. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Then they provoked him to anger with their inventions and the, what's that next word? Huh? Plague. Is that what it says? I'm going to show y'all something. Now listen, I believe God will speak to our hearts tonight. The plague break in upon them. Then stood up. You know what God's looking for? Somebody that'll stand up. Phinehas, and executed judgment. And so the plague was stayed. Turn back in your Bibles over here to the book of Numbers. Go back to Numbers chapter 25 for just a moment. I believe this is important, people. Listen, we're living in a day and an hour. If a man preaches anything or stands for anything, if a daddy stands for anything, he's labeled a heretic. But I want you to know tonight, beloved, listen, if you love God, you have to stand for this word. If you love God and love your family, you have to stand for what's right. And I believe with all of my heart, sometimes it costs us to do that. But watch this. In verse number, in chapter 25, I'm not sure where I want to start reading. Let me start in verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim. And the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. When the Beatles hit the shore in the 1960s and the hair come down and the skirts come up, somebody say amen. There's whoredom on every corner. People shacking up and won't get married. Babies out of wedlock. Babies being aborted. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, America's no different. The Word of God said, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. You think about the gods that are being bowed down to today. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. This is a side of God nobody wants to see. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun. You say, Pastor, surely the Bible didn't say that. I just read it. Surely it did. God is not only a God of grace and a God of mercy, but he's a God of judgment. The Word of God said here, the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one of his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses. Listen to me. It was brazen. You understand that? He didn't just do it in the shadows or do it in the background. He done it right in the face of Moses, the man of God. I'm telling you, it reminds me of what's going on in this world today. A man in public kissing another man. It makes God sick. It's an abomination in the sight of God. And they're not ashamed before God. Not ashamed before the man of God. Not ashamed before the Word of God. Not ashamed before the whole nation. To paint it like it's something that's acceptable. There's a few youngins in the house of God tonight. I'm telling you what, if somebody don't stand up and cry aloud and spare not, they're going to think that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Watch what the Word of God said here. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel. Can you imagine tonight one of our men or your pastor going off into sin and not even being ashamed of it, just do it in front of everybody? That's what the Word of God's talking about here. Listen, I'm going somewhere with this tonight. Stay with me. We'll get back over to Psalm 107. Watch this now. We're talking about that plague. The Word of God said here, and the congregation, the sight of all the congregation who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Watch this. Some of them were weeping, but there's one man, Brother John, that stood up, and he had a weapon. While many were weeping, watch what the word, this Phinehas, that's the same man we just read about in Psalm 107. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it. When he saw it, he rose up among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. Listen to me tonight, I'm not trying to provoke, but if something don't happen in this country, I'm telling you, beloved, it can't keep going the way it's going. You mark my word, beloved, you mark my word. I'm telling you, beloved, it cannot keep going the way it's going. Something's going to have to give. Here in the Word of God, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, he saw it. He rose up among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man. This man that came in and blew smoke in the face of Moses, blew smoke in the face of the congregation. The Bible said that Phinehas went after him, and the Bible said, into the tent, and thrust both of them, him and the woman. The Word of God said he thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. I'm not trying to discourage you, but they can have every vaccine under the sun. If God ain't done, then, beloved, the vaccine ain't going to help. Say amen. There'll just be another one right behind it. I'm telling you, it's time to learn the lesson. It's time to call on God. It's time to repent. It's time to turn from our wicked ways. The Word of God said here, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. I don't know about the population of the earth at that time. I didn't take the time to study it out. I'm not even sure if anybody would know the population of the whole earth at that time. I don't think they had computers yet. But let me tell you this. I believe it would be a pretty good comparison to what's going on in the world today. I'm talking about in America. The last count that I had, it had went over 200, over a quarter of a million people have died with this plague in America, in the United States of America, where we got the mighty military, where we got the mighty medicine, where we got all the knowledge. I'm just telling you that there's a God that's above the military, a God that's above the knowledge, a God that's above a people that's turned their back on Him, and He wants us to cry out once again unto Him. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, had turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. Listen to me. If you don't get anything else I say tonight, one man can make a difference. Brother Ralph, one man can make a difference in your family. One man can make a difference in a church. One man can make a difference in a county. One man can make a difference on the job. One man can make a difference in this country. I'm telling you, there was one man that stood up and did what was right. And God said the plague was stayed. Say, Pastor, I don't understand where you're coming from. Listen, I'm not going to take the time to read it. Read the rest of the chapter. You know what God does? He don't always do this, Brother Gary. He tells you that man's name. He don't just tell you the man that thrust him through. He tells you the man that got that spear stuck right through him. And then he tells you the woman's name. Oh, you say, Pastor, my sin is hid. Let me tell you something, beloved. There's a day the names are going to come out. There's nothing hid from God. Not one thing. They can pull their suitcases out from under the table in the middle of the night after they told everybody else to leave. Say amen. You say, Preacher, they got by with it. No, they just think they did. I promise you, there's a God in heaven. And they didn't know by to get by with anything. That might be right, not be right English, but it's right preaching. They didn't get by with it. The Word of God is trying to teach us here. You get on down there. Let's go back to Psalm 106 for just a minute, and then we'll go back to Psalm 107. Then we'll go to the fellowship hall, God willing. But the Word of God said this. They angered him in verse 32 also at the waters of strife. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Listen to me carefully. Over and over and over again, Israel saw the goodness of God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. I'm going to ask you something. When's the last time you thought about that rod as a wonderful work? 24,000 people died with that plague before Phinehas stood up. No. The Bible didn't say we need to give thanks for everything that we think's good. The Bible said in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That don't mean thank God for the president you like. That means thank God for the president you have. Amen. Watch this now. The Bible said in verse 35, they mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Is that not what's happened to God's people? An old preacher, Brother John, years ago, he said the world's got so churchy and the church has got so worldly, you can't hardly tell the difference. The world don't belong in the church. We're supposed to come out from among the world and be a separate people, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. God knows we're surrounded by unclean things. He said He would receive us. He'd be a father. Watch this now. They served their idols in verse number 6, which were a snare. They sacrificed. Look at this. They sacrificed their sons and daughters. Listen, if you're guilty of this, Brother Preston, it's going to help you in the future. You don't need it right now. But if you're guilty of this, you're guilty. And you can just sit still and take the preaching. But beloved, God did not intend for a television to raise the youngins. God did not intend. Are you listening to me? He didn't intend for a video game to raise the youngins. He intended for mom and dad to raise their youngins. The Bible said here they sacrificed their sons and daughters. I'm telling you, I believe abortion fits that. They sacrificed the blood the Bible talked about. The land was polluted with blood. I think God has been merciful, even in the plague. We still don't have nearly, Brother Kenny, what we deserve. Not nearly what we deserve. The Word of God said here, they shed innocent blood in verse 38. Even the blood of their sons and their daughters whom they sacrificed unto idols. And the land was polluted with blood. Then were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Now I'm going somewhere. Let me get back in Psalm 107. The Word of God said, then they cried unto the Lord in verse number 6. In verse number 7, there was darkness and in verse number 10, they sit in darkness. In verse number 11, they rebelled. But look at verse number 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. In verse 15, Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Listen to me tonight. I'll never look at this chapter the same again. God's not just talking about praising Him because we got groceries, praising Him because we got shoes on our feet, praising Him because we got clothes on our back, praising Him because we got a warm place to live and a good church to go to, got a good wife, got good children, got friends in this world. God is looking for somebody to praise Him even in the midst of a plague. Because listen, He's saying it's a wonderful work when God sends something or allows something that causes His people to get on their knees once again and cry out unto the Lord. There's some old timers in the building. Some of you thinking, yeah, Pastor, you're one of them. You hush. I'm on my way. But there's some old timers in this building that can remember when the altar had an O in it. When people couldn't even call somebody's name, Brother Gary, but you'd hear them in the altar, oh God, oh God, oh God. I'm telling you, beloved, God wants His people to cry out once again. The Word of God said that He maketh intercession for us with words that cannot be uttered. Amen. The Spirit of God maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Oh, that men. The Bible said, verse 14, He brought them out of darkness in the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. You know what? Most of America don't even know they're locked up. They're locked up in sin. I was. But they was somebody that had the key to the shackles. And He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Paul looked like the one that was locking people up. He was locking up, Brother Michael, those that were free. And the whole time he was the one that was locked up. But on the road to Damascus, God brought the key. God shined a light. God saved Saul of Tarsus. He became the Apostle Paul. Look at it with me. Let's go on quickly. The Word of God said here, He broke in the gates of brass, cut the bars of iron asunder, verse 16, verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Look at verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. How many people in this world would have never been born again if it hadn't have been for trouble? The only gospel some people will ever hear is at a funeral. Let me tell you something. You can go to a lot of funerals and you won't hear it there. The gospel. The Bible said, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. In verse 21, see how this follows up? They cry unto the Lord, and then the Bible said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. I don't know about you. I never, never, ever in my life thought about the rod of God as something to praise Him for. But if we don't tonight after reading chapter 107 and looking at that, then we're wrong. Amen. We need to thank God for parents that'll correct us. We need to thank God for a God in heaven that won't let us live like the devil. But He'll correct us. The Bible said this, by the way, listen to me. There's a young lady here tonight that would understand what I'm going to say, so I'm not going to say the word. But if you're without chastisement, you're illegitimate. You're not a child of God. That's what the Word of God teaches. Brother Rosa, if we preach that You're saved by the grace of God. You're saved eternally. You're saved forever. People say, well, if I believe that, I'd just go live like hell. No, you won't. Because when somebody genuinely gets born again, it changes them. First on the inside. And then it begins to work its way to the outside. Let me tell you something about Baptists down through the years. They've got that backwards a lot of times. They're trying to change a man on the outside before he gets changed on the inside. Brother Wayne, your hair used to be real long, didn't it? Amen. Mine did too. Probably not as long as yours from what I heard. It used to be real long. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Sunday morning, you can ask my wife over at Dustin's funeral the other night. I befriended a man on the back seat. His name was Jeremy. He had it on his shirt, his work shirt. I befriended him. His hair's down to right there. I talk to him like he's a man. Why? Because he is a man. I feel sorry for somebody who can't see past somebody's hair. Say amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, somebody comes in here Sunday morning, we're going to preach. We ain't preaching on long hair. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, that right there gets right, it'll take care of the rest of it. And if that right there don't get right, there ain't no preacher going to take care of any of it. That's what I call preaching in the flesh. Amen. Let the Spirit of God work on people. Be patient with them. Why would you be patient with people, preacher? Because God has been patient with me. He's still being patient with me. And he's being patient with you too. The Word of God said, then they cry unto the Lord in the trouble. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Is there anybody in here tonight that's seen this before I did? I didn't see it. I mean, I think Lord, praise God. I think Lord, praise God when the choir's full, Brother Ralph. And I'm telling you, maybe it's Sunday morning, maybe it's Sunday night, and the choir's full, and there's a good spirit. I believe we ought to praise God. Amen. Let me tell you this. We ought to praise Him when it's empty. Yeah. COVID changed the choir, but it didn't change the God of the choir. Amen. COVID changed the church, but it didn't change the God of the church. God ain't roped off. Say amen. And God's trying to teach us tonight there's more to praise Him for than just the things that are good. The Bible didn't say, oh, that men would praise the Lord for the good things. That ain't what it said, Brother Preston. It said for His goodness. Brother Gary, when you've got good things, God's good. And when evil things come, God is still good. You say, Pastor, you better be careful. Oh, believe me, honey. My phone could ring before 10 o'clock tonight and my world be turned upside down. But I want you to know this. It will not change the fact that God is good all the time. He's God and He's good and He can't be anything else. Whether the church is full, or whether the church is a third full or half full or quarter full, it don't change God. Now watch this. The Bible said in verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in the ships and do business in the great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. By the way, this is where this whole message was birthed in my heart. Remember what we preached on Sunday about the storm? Well, I never had seen this verse before, but look here. The Bible said, He commanded to raise the stormy wind. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I didn't even see that Sunday when I was preaching. Oh, we make a lot, don't we? Out of that, Jesus standing up and saying, peace, be still. I like that. Who sent the wind? Who sent the waves? Was it to hurt them? Or was it to help them? This would change our life in the tribulation if we could understand God's never trying to hurt me. Even if he's got the belt after me, Brother Houston, he's trying to help me. Because he loves me. The Word of God said here, he commandeth the race of the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. They go down again into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. It almost sounds like, Brother Larry, I'm reading the same text that I read on Sunday. Watch this now. They reel to and fro. Oh, I got so tickled at Coulter. He said, I like that side to side. He said, that front to back. He said, that's awful. He said, I guess I was too little for the bunk. I mean, too big for the bunk. I love Coulter. The Word of God said, they reel to and fro. They stagger like a drunken man. And are at their wit's end. Beloved, listen, we don't need to find fault with these people because we might be one of them before midnight tonight. How many's with me? Watch this. Look at verse 28. Somebody read that for me. Read it out loud. Verse 28, read it. Here it comes again. Then they cry unto the Lord. What did them guys do? What did the disciples do when there were others with them? What did they do Sunday? Master! Wake up! I just saw you, don't I? I'll act like I'm asleep in the recliner. Sometimes I ain't acting, Brother Wayne. And he'll shake me and say, Papa, wake up! I guess life is too short for me to sleep. Wake up, Jesus. Don't you care that we perish? They sought the Lord. But let me ask you something. Listen to me carefully. God's teaching us something. I didn't even plan on saying this. No storm, Brother Rose. They get on that side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus said, let's pass the other side. There's no storm. There's smooth sailing. What happens? Is anybody crying out to God, Brother John? Nobody. But the storm comes and you find some people crying out to God. Your pastor hates to see his people hurting. I hate to see them physically in trouble, spiritually in trouble, emotionally in trouble, morally in trouble. I hate it. But when people belong to God, it's part of it. Because, well, the way my daddy said it, years ago, daddy was standing at Sutherland Community Baptist Church. Well, no, it wasn't a Baptist church, it was a community church. They preached Baptist doctrine. That preacher preached his heart out. That preacher preached with tears. Daddy stood right there and he hung on to that pew. Oh, he would not move. The next morning, Sister Helen, the next morning, Daddy and I were on a frosty roof. Had no business being up there. Still frosty. My dad says to me, son, we need to be careful or one of us will fall. He had no more and got it out of his mouth. I turned my back. I heard what sounded like, and it was my dad's backside hit the plywood. And by the time I could turn around, he was going out over the edge of the roof, 2.5 stories. I can remember it like it was yesterday. He fell across a pile of 6x6s. They were stacked up about that high, Brother John, and had metal on top of them. He fell across that. How in the world he survived? I don't know. Broke his shoulder, broke his back, broke 3 ribs. He's laying in the hospital. preacher come to see him. Here's what Daddy told him. He said, brother, he said, either a man can look up when God's dealing with him, or God can put him in a position that the only way to look is up, flat on his back. My daddy never missed a beat, brother. He got saved. He was a preacher's best friend, a deacon, and loved God. He'd work around the church, Brother Houston, whether anybody was looking or not, mow grass, paint, work on the roof, just whatever needed to be done. And he was that way till he died. But it all started my daddy might have went to hell without that right there, Brother Gary. So I want to stop tonight and praise God for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. The lady that was saved Sunday, they never thought, stopped and thought about eternity without this virus. Put her off. I used to preach in prison, and those men, many of them would have never thought about eternity if they hadn't have got away from the drugs, away from the sex culture, away from the stealing, away from the fighting, away from the stabbing. I hope we never look at it the same. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. One preacher, the Bible said over there, he that loveth his child chasteneth him betimes. And he said he thought his daddy read it, he that loveth his son chasteneth him at bedtime. One thing I learned, I would rather daddy just go ahead and do it than to say, son, you got it coming, and leave you guessing as to when it's coming. Let's get this over with. Amen. God is saying tonight, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He bringeth them out of their distress. It's 5 minutes under eight. I didn't mean to preach this long tonight. Oh, that men would praise. Now watch this. Verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm. The same one that raised it up, Sister Carol, laid it down. Boy, when are we going to learn? Sister Shelby, the same one that raised it up, laid it down. So that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. That means glad when there's peace, when there's quiet. I guess what I'm trying to tell you tonight, and I don't think it's a stretch, is that we need to be learn to be glad when it's not quiet. Does that make any sense? Because the storm changes, but the Savior never changes. If He was worthy of praise the night He saved me, by the way, I thought I'd be preaching out of Timothy. Paul's getting ready to leave the scene. Brother John, I believe Paul was closer to Jesus on the way out than he was at the Damascus Road. He had learned some things about suffering, about persecution, about trouble, about false brethren. Amen. Well, the Bible said in verse 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things. Can I ask a question tonight? How many has observed some things you never thought of before tonight? God had to show it to me. I never thought of it this way. I told Sister Becky, I said, Sister Becky, I hope I never have to face what you face. That's the truth. There's something backwards about a parent having to bury the child. I hope I never have to face it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If I do, there's one thing that will not change. God will still be good. God will still be God. I wonder sometimes, I believe with all my heart, that many times young people think they're invincible. That religion, that Jesus, that church stuff, that's for old people like Tanita. You know I'm telling it right. Brother Larry, they go through that funeral home. The wheels begin to turn. They begin to understand something that you and I know. You don't have to be old, Brother Preston, to die. You don't even have to be sick. Have you read the paper today or heard the news? Drive-by shooting last night. One's in critical condition, the other one's dead. The reason I was made aware of that is my daughter's husband knew the brother of one of the young ladies. Is that right, honey? Did I tell it right? The one that died. Young. You said, Pastor, what happened? Does it really matter? Somebody went out into eternity. And now, if they were not ready, it's too late. If they were ready, they're in the presence of God. I'm just glad you come tonight. I ain't done, but I'm quitting.